This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
The Rich Zeoli Show podcast is sponsored by Mike Venaria Jr. with Osperity Private Wealth.
Hi, I'm Mike Venaria Jr., Wealth Management Specialist. Make your retirement dreams a reality by creating your retirement plan today. Call me at 856-252-0107.
Final hour on Talk Radio 1210 WPHG 855-839-1210 on X at Rich Zeoli. Thank you for being here today. We appreciate it very much. Thank you if you joined us last night for our Politics and Pints. We had a great time. It was a lot of fun. Great seeing people, made new friends and saw some old friends, and it was just really, really fun. And I'm going to be announcing a brand new sponsor to the show in the next day or two, which I'm really excited about. So that's great. We'll do that as well. But the next time we're all going to be together, because we were at the Great American Pub yesterday, even though it wasn't really like a kind of show we would do at Cape May, because I couldn't hang out afterward, and it was hard to hear. But the thing is, we'll be at the Grand Hotel at Cape May on June 20th. So make sure you mark your calendar down for that. The questions that were asked today of the president were all important ones regarding China, and we'll talk about that as we go on this hour as well. Larry Krasner, the woke, Soros-funded, abysmal failure of a district attorney of Philadelphia, much like all these other major cities in Philadelphia. He's got a primary. You know, I'm not going to spend much time on this because I spent a lot of time on it the last time this jackass was up, and he still won. So, you know, I don't know what to tell you. I don't live in Philadelphia. I wouldn't live in Philadelphia. I feel bad for the cops. I really do. The last time the Philadelphia police, the FOP Lodge 5, they had a Mr. Softy truck mocking Krasner. I had Governor Ed Rendell on the show to trash Krasner. Seth Williams, the former DA, wrote a piece trashing Krasner. Former Mayor Michael Nutter had a piece trashing Krasner. The frigging guy still won. So, I don't know what to say. I mean, it's nuts to me that Larry Krasner has still been able to maintain a hold on the city of Philadelphia when other cities have been rejecting or recalling these very kind of woke prosecutors. But, you know, he had talked about how people like President Trump and other Republicans needed to be punched in the face as hard as possible. It's what he had said. He referred to them as bullies who needed to be punched in the face as hard as possible. Don't forget, too, this guy has promised to go after all the people that President Trump pardoned in regards to January 6th. There was no insurrection. There was no insurrection in D.C. either, but there was no riot at the Capitol building of Harrisburg, even though that wouldn't be in his jurisdiction either. There was no riot at City Hall in Philadelphia. So Larry Krasner has no jurisdiction over this, but like all tyrants, they want to try to stretch the law as far as they possibly can to go after people. And mercy only applies to people who they deem worthy of mercy, you know. And if that doesn't fit your politically correct category, then no mercy for you. You know, if a guy goes out there and kills somebody or gets arrested with an illegal gun, Krasner will show all the mercy in the world to them. But, you know, if you trespassed in the Capitol building on January 6th or kicked in a window or something, in his mind, you deserve to burn. Here he is explaining his advocation for punching bullies in the face. This is cut number five.
After the recent break-in and fire at the governor's residence in Harrisburg, you posted on social media, political violence of every type, assassination, insurrection, burglary, arson, assault, assault, arson must stop. No motive justifies any of it.
Right.
But in an interview with City and State in March, you said, and I'm reading my notes because I want to get this correct, after talking about President Trump saying that he likes crime and that fascists like crime, you said, quote, "These are fundamentally fascists, and it will not do us any good to try to appease them. They are bullies who need to be punched in the face as hard as possible, and that is the only way that all the people around us who are so frightened will understand they can stand up to." Isn't language like that part of the problem?
I think anybody who has been in a schoolyard, as I have, I grew up in inner city St. Louis public schools and then public schools out here, knows that there's always some bully who's wandering around the schoolyard, and they're getting by on reputation.
But should you advocate for punching them in the face?
It's a figure of speech. This is not the Soviet Union. We can use metaphors. We can use similes. It's okay. That's what I was doing. I never said, let's actually drive to the XYZ place and let's punch somebody in the face. That's a totally different thing. Frankly, if you look at the metaphors and the similes that are used by Republicans, if you look at the things that come out of the mouth of the president who has been endorsed by the Ku Klux Klan twice, if you look at that, they're doing a whole lot better. Wasn't it Trump who was telling us that he could shoot somebody in the middle of Manhattan and
there'd
be no consequence?
But this is exactly my point. That rhetoric that Democrats have said causes an issue, you're using that rhetoric.
Well, I just have, you know, I respectfully see that a little bit differently. I see a difference between shoot somebody and talking about punching a bully in a schoolyard, which is essentially what I was doing.
So you stand by those words?
Look, I stand by they can F around and find out. I know what bullies are. Bullies are just waiting for somebody to stand up to them, because if somebody stands up to them, then all the other kids in the schoolyard see it's possible. And when all the other kids in the schoolyard see it's possible, they stand up too. This is a president, this is a MAGA party that is a party of hate, and their whole point is don't challenge me. I'm challenging them. The city needs a fighter. This country needs more fighters. We don't need all these profiles and cowardice. We need profiles and courage to stand up to this man.
Let's unpack that. And good job by Lauren Make from NBC 10, if I'm pronouncing her name right, I hope, for pushing back on Krasner on that. So let's break that down. Number one, he is literally saying punch them in the face. So you just own it, man. Just be like, yeah, you know what? But you can't, you don't get the right to use political metaphors that imply violence and then criticize other people for using political metaphors that could incite violence. One or the other. You don't get to do both. You can't go out there and be like, well, when I say it, it's okay. But when they say it, it's wrong. So punch him in the face. Oh, it's just a metaphor. But think of all the things Republicans have said. But if you notice as it goes on, Krasner talks about all the hate that these Republicans are spewing and all the hate of Donald Trump. And this is why, and now the Ku Klux Klan. This is a guy who won Pennsylvania and won it big last time around and did really, really well in the city of Philadelphia and the county of Philadelphia. The KKK endorsed him, regardless. You see what he's doing, right? What he's doing is they are justifying political violence against Trump, because it's the same thing when people say he's Hitler. It's the same thing when they say that he's a fascist dictator who's going to destroy democracy or their, it is dog whistle is not the right word. It's saying to somebody, you should do something about this person. You know, in reading, I was rereading Gerald Posner's book about Case Closed, about the assassination of Kennedy, because I hadn't read it in a very long time. But, you know, there's a passage in the book where Lee Harvey Oswald is essentially reflecting on why it's okay to assassinate people. And his point was, if I could have killed Hitler, I would have done so. You know, everybody would agree that if I could kill Adolf Hitler, I would have done so. So you see, Lee Harvey Oswald, whether you believe he assassinated Kennedy or he had help or he was a lone gunman, was off his freaking rocker. And that's the problem, is that if you believe the conspiracy theory of other people were able to manipulate Oswald, or he was a patsy or whatever it was, that either he was just a guy who was able to take advantage of and not very bright. If you think that Oswald acted alone, still a guy who's not particularly bright and hungering for attention and to change the course of history because he's a freaking loser and thinks that killing Kennedy, since he failed to kill that general in Texas, will bring about that sort of place of importance in history. In that sense, if you believe that Oswald did it, it was because of Cuba or any of the other bizarre explanations he gave. If you believe that he was a patsy or that he was in on it with other people, whatever it is, that he was a person who could be easily manipulated. The point is that when you use rhetoric like that, it sends a message to people who are off their friggin' rocker, like that guy in Butler, Pennsylvania, to take out Hitler, to take out the guy, the hateful KKK guy. And it's not okay. And it's not okay. And the difference is that I'll happily say, proudly say, that you should not burn down the governor of Pennsylvania's house, and you shouldn't use anti-Semitic language. You shouldn't say Israel's committing genocide. You shouldn't say all those things because somebody might burn the Jewish governor's house down. Like, I'm okay saying that. I'm not going to equate it with what Krasner's doing, which is a very, very classic case of whataboutism.
Well, what about all the times they said it? What about all the times they said this? Or what about all the times they said that?
Dude, you're an elected official. You're the prosecutor, even though you don't prosecute. So you're the DA. Really, what it means is defense attorney, but the actual title is district attorney. You're not like everybody. You're an elected official who's supposed to be the law and order guy, the guy who makes sure that the laws are followed. You're not like everybody else in that sense. So you to turn around and use whataboutism, like, well, what about the time this person said that? Or what about the time this, blah, 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 blah. Her point is, you're advocating for violence. He's like, oh, it's a metaphor. The metaphors are the problem when you keep saying things that will trigger a crazy person to do something. And what we've been saying is that heated political rhetoric is fine and should be encouraged. When you're using violent political metaphors, you're sending a message to somebody who's off their freaking rocker that they have to do something about that person. Because again, it's the classic philosophy 101. It's you get in philosophy class. And I was a philosophy minor in college at Maryland, and I enjoyed it very much. But, you know, one of the first things you do on day one is you start debating the question of, would you ever, if you could travel back in time and kill baby Hitler, would you do it? And it goes on for an hour, and everybody thinks they know everything. And the point is that there are people out there who are unstable people. And while I'm all about political rhetoric and I'm all about political debates, the left knows exactly what they're doing when they say things like put them in the crosshairs. The left knows what they're doing. They do it because they deep down like violence. I mean, there's no other way to put it, but the left has always used political revolutions to get their way throughout history. And I'm sorry if you don't like that or you think it's politically incorrect, I don't really care. It's the truth. I mean, look through history and look at leftist revolutions, and they've always been preceded by violent uprisings in every place, everywhere. Nobody democratically elects some lunatic leftist tyrant. You know, I mean, like it's a revolution that occurs because you've convinced the people that they're oppressed and they've got to join you in this bloody revolution. And the guy gets in there and he stays in power for 40 and 50 years and, you know, bilks everybody for everything they got. People like Krasner, and Krasner's a Marxist, they believe in violent political revolution because that's how they've gotten their way throughout the course of history. That's how they've ushered in their utopian, communist, socialist societies, whether it's Cuba or with any place else. So it's not an accident that they equate Donald Trump to Hitler. It's not an accident that two people tried to kill him. It's not an accident that people who are, and again, these are people who are not thinking with a full deck, but that's the problem. Nobody's going to necessarily take a gun and go try to assassinate the president of the United States over a debate about a policy issue. I mean, some may because they're crazy, but, you know, but thinking that they're stopping the next Hitler or the current Hitler, or they're freeing the world of tyranny, that they're going to be remembered in history as some sort of a martyr, a guy who gave his life for the cause of democracy and freedom and everything else. That's what I'm talking about. And, you know, it bugs me when I hear the both sides with the rhetoric nonsense, because we're not doing that. Our side is calling them out on their ridiculous, stupid policies and calling them what they are, which is Marxist. But that's a political philosophy. I'm not suggesting, and I never did suggest, that Joe Biden was Joseph Stalin. You know, a man who killed 12 million people with the purges and famines and everything else. I never suggested that. I never at one point equated any Democrat to Stalin or Pol Pot or Mao or any of these other people. I've never done that. Never. Yet they do it to our guy all the time. Every freaking day is another Trump comparison. Every freaking day. Larry David did it recently when Bill Maher went to have dinner with Trump, and he came back and he said, the Trump that I had dinner with is nothing like the Trump that you see in public. So Larry David, who's very funny, and I love Larry David's comedy, I love Curb Your Enthusiasm, I love Seinfeld, wrote a piece in an editorial saying, my dinner with Hitler, and trying to equate it like, oh, the Hitler that I had dinner with is nothing like the Hitler you see in public. And he was taking a shot at both Bill Maher and Donald Trump, obviously. And Bill Maher came back with, rightly so, he said, you know, the minute you go down the road of Hitler, you've lost the argument. And it's true, you have. You've lost the argument. Like, you're done. They know what they're doing. It's not an accident why they do these things. There are Democrats who are absolutely 100% hoping somebody takes a shot and kills Donald Trump. Absolutely there are. I never hoped that Biden got assassinated or Obama got assassinated, or I've never equated them to people to try to stir up some person with the mindset of a Lee Harvey Oswald to think they're changing the course of history because they're so pathetic in their own lives. I never in my life would do that. And yet they do it on a daily freaking basis, these people. And they know what they're doing. They're smart people. They know what they're doing. Krasner knows damn well what he's doing. But it's like when Butler happened and Trump almost had his head blown off, and you had people saying things like, I hope next time the person doesn't miss. It's a depravity in our culture, but it's not, when you look at the left historically and how they've achieved power. They've achieved power through violent uprisings, and that's the reason why when they achieve power, they then have to maintain strict controls over the people, because they're not free societies. These utopias that they talk about all the time, nobody's free in these places. And so in order to then perpetuate that, you've got to have a police state. You've got to have authoritarian control. You can't have freedom of speech. You can't have free elections. You can't have opposition. You can't have any of these things. And who would vote for that? Nobody. But you see, the left has always believed that they know better than you. They're smarter than you. So if they usher in this grand society, it's for your own benefit. It's for your own good. So you'll reap the rewards of this. But yeah, you're not going to openly vote for it. So we have to bring it about by violent change. And the closest person you had who was trying to usher in that through a peaceful revolution was Bernie Sanders, and the Democrat Party stopped him dead in his tracks because they can't control him. So people that advocated for Bernie Sanders, Larry Krasner being one of them, and other people on the left who believe in that kind of a revolution, they damn well hope that there's violence that happens against the president. Don't think for a second they don't. And it's damn shameful. It really is. And this whataboutism is just a freaking joke. And that's the big story of the hour, brought to you by our buddy, Dr. Mike Veneria, VeneriaDental.com. Go see him today for your perfect smile, with two locations to serve you, in Cinnaminson and Woodbury. I would love for you to make your appointment today for your perfect smile. VANARIA, VeneriaDental.com. Coming right back, Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent says he'll be meeting with China. Don't go away.
The Rich Scioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Want to grow your business fast? With TikTok ads, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising your business on TikTok, now is the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.
If you don't know about flyer deals on Instacart, this message is for you. Flyer deals are like strolling through your favorite store looking for deals. But you're scrolling your phone, and maybe you're in bed. Because getting delivery doesn't mean you have to miss deals like you'd get at the store. Like the one creamer that doesn't make your stomach hurt, or the pasta sauce you can't not buy when it's on sale. So, download the Instacart app, shop flyers, and never miss a deal on one of your favorites. Plus, get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes.
As we continue along the show here today, some sad news to report. Speaking of Philadelphia, a police officer was shot. Thank God he's alive. He's in critical condition. We have some audio for you of what happened. Steve Keeley reporting on this from Fox 29. So let's begin with his report of the law enforcement officers who are at Penn Presbyterian Hospital, where a Philly police officer is in surgery right now. And I'll give you some more details on what exactly happened. But take a listen to the police report.
Is that just video?
All right. Let me play for you the commissioner of the Philadelphia Police Department speaking about what happened a short time ago. Go ahead.
What happened since I was a kid. Right? But what I never would do is call an adult to my fight. And then when you are an adult, you're a damn adult. And you're supposed to know better. You're supposed to be the one who has to come in here to de-escalate.
Matt, can you do me a favor and grab a news report about this so that we can actually get some audio that's good?
Yeah.
Thank you. All right. In the meantime, while we do that, let me play for you this clip here. We'll come back to this story in just a second. But what I want to do is the Secretary of Treasury, Scott Bessent, he was going to be meeting with Chinese officials in Switzerland. Cut number 9, Sean, this is him on last night with Laura Ingraham. This is the where they want to go next with regards to trade and with China. Cut number 9.
Has been coming to the U.S. and China has been the missing piece. I was going to be in Switzerland to negotiate with the Swiss. Turns out the Chinese team is traveling through Europe and they will be in Switzerland also. So we will meet on Saturday and Sunday. And, you know, look, we have shared interest that this isn't sustainable, as I said before, especially on the Chinese side. And, you know, 145%, 125% is the equivalent of an embargo. We don't want to decouple. What we want is fair trade.
But who made the first call? Like in a dating world, like who makes the first call here today?
There are lots of calls, Laura, there isn't a first call. There are a lot of contact points over time.
All right. China typically loves a long, drawn-out process, as we knew in previous trade negotiations. How do you get them in this situation, without revealing too much, to move at the speed that we know President Trump wants to operate at with this deal, which I imagine will be fairly large?
Well, I think that this is what we're going to do in Switzerland is we've agreed to talk. Then on Saturday and Sunday, we will agree what we're going to talk about. My sense is that this will be about de-escalation, not about the big trade deal. And but we've got to de-escalate before we can move forward.
Well, they...
Now, we do have to de-escalate, no doubt about it. It's what has to happen. And I think it's important to realize that our trading partners have also been screwed over by China, obviously. This is cut number 10 now from the same interview last night with Laura Ingraham, cut number 10.
Well, Laura, no one has, and that's how we've gotten here. When President Trump says he doesn't blame the other countries for taking advantage of us, he blames the previous presidents at the Resolute Desk. I agree with him, because when these countries come with these good deals, like this is a great deal, how do we get here? How do we get here? And you know, the other thing too is we've created this barbell economy, so of course the status quo has done well. So the status quo is we have advanced finance, we have the tech sector that's the envy of the world. On the other side, we have a natural resources economy led by energy, which, by the way, the last administration tried to kill. And President Trump is filling in the arc in between with manufacturing jobs. You know, we're down to 8% manufacturing jobs in the U.S., and research has shown the best way to get the real wage increases is in manufacturing jobs, not in the service sector.
Matt, I just sent you the NBC 10 story. If we can grab that audio, that would be helpful.
Gotcha. I have Fox 29 if you want any of it. It's just kind of long.
How recent is it?
It should be pretty recent.
Okay, let's play it.
Philadelphia police officer shot while trying to break up a fight. We're told it happened outside Overbrook High School right around dismissal time. It is a busy day today. This is the Fox 29 News at 5. I'm Sheba Russell.
And I'm Dawn Timoney. Sources telling us that police officer is in their rookie year. Our crews are at the scene at the hospital where the officer was rushed for treatment. So we'll start with Chris O'Connell. And Chris, has there been an arrest yet?
We do know there was someone in custody, Dawn. More on that in a second. But first of all, that 19th District Philadelphia police officer is at Presbyterian Hospital. He is in critical but stable condition. Our colleague Steve Keeley will have more on that from the hospital in just a little bit. But this all started as a shooting as kids right outside of Overbrook High School were getting out of school for the day. Take a look behind me here on Lancaster or on 59th Street here, 59th and Oxford. All started around 2:40 when police responded to a fight near the corner of 59th and Oxford. We're about to show you. Fox 29 was provided eyewitness video of this shooting where we're not going to hear the audio, but you do hear the gunshots and the chaos. Take a look at some of this video. You hear a single gunshot and chaos as students and others scramble away. Police were right there, actually took one person into custody. We are not sure how that person was involved, if there were charges. Now, all of this happening right outside of Overbrook High School on a sunny spring day, 2:40 in the afternoon. This is just when kids were getting out of school. Our source is telling us Philadelphia's school superintendent Tony Watlington is also on the scene. We actually saw him just a little while ago here on the scene. We spoke with a number of eyewitnesses, including an 18-year-old who was right
Let me jump in here. So what Steve Keeley was reporting, I get the clip of the commissioner is very hard to hear, but a 30-year-old man brought a Ruger 57 handgun that fires rifle rounds to after-school fight among kids. That's the tweet. He's in custody after the 26-year-old Philadelphia police officer was critically wounded by a shot that ricocheted off the ground and hit the officer under his vest. Under his bulletproof vest. And I was watching the video of the fight, massive brawl outside this school. This is all in Kensington and just happened. So, you know, prayers for the officer and prayers for all the cops in this city because it's an incredibly dangerous job. And, you know, I was just talking about that scumbag Larry Krasner and, you know, the kind of crime that he's allowed to fester in the city of Philadelphia. So I hope he loses. I hope he goes down. I'm not particularly optimistic, but, you know, I don't know what's going to be a wake-up call for this city. They elected a mayor who at least was supportive of the cops and tough on crime, but it's an incredibly dangerous job. The police need all the support they can possibly get. They don't have it from Krasner. And we have a police officer now in the hospital in critical condition. So 26 years old, rookie cop. You just never know, you know, what the day is going to be like. So you gotta support our cops. And our cops are the best. I mean, Philadelphia's police department is the absolute best. The best by far. So, all right, let's take a quick break. We'll come right back. Got more to come before we wrap up the show today. So don't go away.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Baseball's number one digital destination is the MLB app. And this app's got game. Like game highlights, live games, fantasy games, and more.
The gem of a game!
This is baseball your way. With stats, scores, breaking news, and daily custom content that hits every time.
A monster shot!
Because here, you choose the teams and pick the players you want to follow.
All year long.
So when they catch it on the field,
what a catch!
You catch it on the MLB app. Download today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
I'm Emma Greed, and I've spent the last 20 years building, running, and investing in some incredible businesses. The more success I've had, the more people started coming to me with questions. How do you start a business? How do you raise money? How do I bounce back from failure? On my new podcast, Aspire with Emma Greed, I'll be answering these questions and more through weekly conversations with the smartest minds out there. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, available now, wherever you get your podcasts.
We continue along here. Former Clinton pollster, let's cue up cut number 20, Mark Penn. This is a guy who at one point, you know, did polling for the Clintons. He's a Democrat pollster. So when you hear people talk about pollsters, he's pretty much a straight shooter on this stuff. So he's going to talk about the Democrat problem that they have. It's not good for him. By the way, it's not good at all. Cut number 20.
I think that's the problem with the Democrats now. They're seen as purely partisan, but off the deep end on some policy issues, not trying to be constructive, not listening to the will of the people to try to get things done together with the president.
Yeah.
Here's part of the problem. All right. So yesterday, this Congresswoman Escobar, or Congressperson Escobar, I don't know, male woman, was talking to Kristi Noem. Let's cue cut number 25. About an NBC News story. This is where Democrats are right now. Again, they're on the point now of being in the let's defend illegal immigrant criminals, human traffickers, wife beaters. I mean, this is where they are. This is where the party is. And it's not good. It's not good for them at all. It's not a good look. Cut 25.
Okay, perfect. I also wanted to ask you about this NBC News story, and I'll enter into the record this article as well. U.S. citizen family traumatized after ICE raided their Oklahoma home in search of someone else. And according to the local affiliate, KFOR, which was reporting on this story, immigration agents raided the home last week. They had a search warrant for the home, but the suspects listed on the warrant were no longer living in the home. The family was forced to wait outside in the rain during the search. A mother and her girls, all U.S. citizens, their money was taken, their laptop, their cell phone. I asked you at the top of our first round if you believed it was important for DHS and if you would attest to the fact that DHS needs to rectify any mistakes. If this were a mistake, will you ensure that this family, this U.S. citizen family, gets its property back in a timely manner?
Well, in that particular situation, the warrant for that situation was on the house and the facility, not on the individuals that were there. And so that house was being used for human smuggling. And so those operations were conducted against the facility. And even in that situation, there were some individuals there with the same last names and some of the similarities.
But
and
if so it were a mistake, Madam Secretary,
we
if
believe
it were
everything
a mistake.
Was done appropriately and we'll continue to make sure that it is done and handled appropriately.
All right. Well, appreciate you looking into it. Not my constituents, but.
But I want to defend them because they're people involved in human trafficking. Look, law enforcement makes mistakes, obviously. But what the Democrats want to do is they want to pretend like there's this systemic ICE just raiding people's houses. And I've told you, I'm not going to be okay with The idea of not having to use warrants because you suspect there might be gang members in there. You get a warrant and do it by the book. Has to be done that way, bottom line. But seems like they followed the book here. And if there's a mistake made, I don't know. But, I mean, sometimes that happens. But that happens when you're dealing with a warrant on United States citizens and they've got a potential arrest warrant or something like that. And sometimes you get the wrong person. I mean, it's not perfect, but they're trying to pretend like there's like the Gestapo going around and, you know, just randomly going to houses and terrorizing people. That's the theme that they're trying to put out there. So Tom Holman reacted to AOC saying, come for me. This is what she said during a town hall event. AOC, the leader of the Democrat Party, cut 11.
Remain
I can't, I'm sorry, I can't hear it. Is that cut 11?
Seminars, Tom Holman, then acting director of ICE, said that he was going to threaten to refer me to the DOJ because I'm using my free speech rights in order to advise people of their constitutionally guaranteed protections, and he may want to do it again today. And to that I say, come for me.
Come for me. So Tom Holman went on with Laura Ingraham. This is cut number 12, reacting to what she said. And take a listen.
Come for me, she said.
I take pleasure. I can live in her mind rent free every day. But we all know exactly what she's doing. Like I just said, she's educating the worst of the worst. How do we invade law enforcement? But the tables have now turned. She's educating people how to get prosecuted. Because you have a final order. It is illegal to not comply with that order. It's a crime to take steps to not comply with ICE removal orders or not comply with ICE actions taken in custody. You can't hinder your own removal that was ordered by the federal judge. I would like AOC to read Title 8, United States Code, 1253, because it's starting tomorrow.
Do you anticipate other arrests of other judges across the country who are pulling these shenanigans by sneaking them out the back, Jack?
I think some sanctuary cities, you're going to see more judges make a very bad decision. I've said from day one, you cannot support ICE. You can support sanctuary cities all you want. But if you cross that line of impediment, which is a felony, if you cross that line of knowingly harboring, concealing illegal alien from ICE, that's a felony. We're going to ask the DOJ to prosecute. I'm not a prosecutor, but we're certainly going to ask for those prosecutions. You know, the Democrats said forever, no one's above the law. No one's above the law. But they want a different set of rules for illegal aliens. You said it in your monologue. The whole zero tolerance thing, right? They didn't want families separated when a parent was prosecuted. Kids can't go to jail with parents. But as a cop, when I started my career, I separated U.S. citizen families all the time when a U.S. citizen parent went to jail. U.S. citizen families are separated 1,000 times across this country every day. But they want a different set of rules for the illegal aliens. And as far as removal of USC children, you're right. We sent three children with their mothers who requested their baby children go with them. If we didn't do it, then the story would be ICE is separating families again.
Look, the problem that the Democrats have is that you've got too many AOCs out there who are like this and they're trying to take this stand. One of those people is now running for governor of New Jersey, Ross Baraka, the mayor of Newark, who's also out there saying the same thing. Look, this is a bad look for the Democrat Party. This is part of the reason why they're so incredibly unpopular right now. People are glad that we're getting rid of criminals and we're deporting people who are in this country illegally and have committed crimes. People are happy about this. The Democrats don't want to be here, and yet they're here. Why is that? Because the base wants them to be there, and the Democrat Party has a base problem. The Democrat Party has a base problem. So they're going to keep appealing to their base, and that's what they're going to keep doing. One of the guys who wants to run for president, though, is Gavin Newsom. Let's cue up cut 31. He took the bait. I told you Alcatraz is never going to really reopen as a prison. This is classic Trump trolling. Gavin Newsom bought it hook, line, and sinker, and now he's outraged and highly offended. Cut 31.
Sounds like something more out of a movie.
Governor Steve Large, CBS 13. Anything you want to say about Alcatraz?
I don't know if he's watching The Rock or what inspired this.
Welcome to The Rock.
The famous movie The Rock, starring Sean Connery, had a plot to take over Alcatraz. Governor Gavin Newsom says a real-life reopening makes no sense.
You can't even come up with a more colossally bad fiscal idea. Nothing about this makes any sense.
Where did you get the idea for reopening Alcatraz?
It's an idea I've had.
President Trump defended his idea to reporters outside the White House.
It's long been a symbol, Alcatraz, of whatever it is. It's a sad symbol, but it's a symbol of law and order.
Alcatraz is currently run by the National Park Service, leading guided tours of the now closed historic site. 1.5 million tourists visit every year. They take a round-trip ferry to walk the grounds and spend $60 million a year to do it. The federal government closed Alcatraz as a prison in 1963, citing the high cost of operating it, three times as expensive as any other prison.
And, it's got quite a history.
Now, the president says he wants Alcatraz reopened and rebuilt.
Welcome to The Rock.
The governor says that plan is not solid as a rock.
It's got the foreman. The substance of the stuff that flows in and out of the bay over Alcatraz every day. Fog.
Hook, line, and sinker, baby. Hook, line, and sinker. Have a great rest of your night tonight. Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla is up next. I'll be back with you, of course, tomorrow at 3. Keep the conversation going on X at Rich Zeoli. Thank you for listening.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.